Hello, listeners. Today is Wednesday, March 22nd. Welcome to Behind the Numbers, Reimagining Retail, an e-marketer podcast made possible by Ibotta Performance Network. This is the show where we talk about how retail collides with every part of our lives. I'm your host, Sarah Lebo. Today's episode is all about live stream shopping. Joining me for today's episode, we have senior analyst on our retail desk, Karina Perkins. Hey, Karina.
Hi, Sarah. Thanks for having me back.
Thanks for being here. And also with us today is another senior analyst on our retail desk, Sky Canaves. Hey, Sky.
Hey, Sarah. It's great to be here.
Yeah, welcome back. Before we jump in, we are running a contest. The Reimagining Retail team wants to give away prizes. Yep, you heard that right, prizes. Starting today, I'm going to read one question out in the episode, and if you are the first person to answer it correctly and send us a screenshot of your Reimagining Retail review or five-star rating, you will receive a Reimagining Retail branded gym bag. Be the first to email your answer to podcast@emarketer.com and attach a screenshot of your review and or rating. The first question is, what is the name of the University of Michigan fight song? That is my alma mater. What is the name of the University of Michigan fight song? We're going to run this contest for the next 4 weeks, so tune in next week where we'll announce the winner, give the answer to the question, and tell you the question for the following week's contest. Okay, let's jump into our first segment, news and reviews, where I give the news and our guests tell me their reviews. Today's story is a March 16th one from CNBC titled, "Retailers See a Tough Year Ahead, So They're Rolling Out the Recession Playbook." The article says, the U.S. economy may not be in a recession, but it feels like it in a lot of stores across the nation. And it talks about how retailers are stocking up on high-frequency items, becoming more strategic about discounts, and focusing on loyalty. So, Karina, your review of this story in 60 seconds is?
Sure. Well, we are also hearing from the government now that we're going to swerve a recession here, but we're definitely seeing a lot of consumers cutting back on spending, specifically on non-essential goods. But we're also seeing consumers cutting back on food and drink because inflation is just so crazily high here on food and drink that people are really having to reduce what they're buying to keep their grocery spending in check. And we have already seen a lot of the retailers here going to that recessionary playbook. So we've seen Tesco's introduced a reduced to clear section in its supermarkets. We've seen Morrison's slash prices on entry-level products. We've seen Boots and Superdrug slashing prices on kind of essential products as well. Clothing brands have been investing in resale and re-commerce, which is a sustainability as well. But that's also down to the fact that people are just having to cut their non-essential spending. So it's definitely something we're seeing, and I think it's something we're going to see more across the year, even if we do dodge a recession.
Gotcha. And just to clarify for listeners, in case they can't tell by your accent, here refers to the UK.
Yes.
All right. Sky, your review of this story in 60 seconds is?
So I think one of the underlying threads that ties a lot of these strategies together is a real focus on value to the consumer from a retailer perspective. And we see this with different strategies that some of them are trying, as mentioned in the article. Target is doubling down on essential items and groceries, but it's also looking to add some cooler new bells and whistles like Starbucks delivery to your car and curbside returns. While Walmart is kind of guaranteeing its low prices, especially through its private label goods, but it's also focused on driving membership to Walmart Plus, and it's trying to bundle together a whole suite of features and offers in there to make it worthwhile. So I think we'll continue to do that because at the key right now for a lot of retailers is really emphasizing loyalty and trying to get consumers to stay loyal at a time when we know that consumers are becoming less loyal because of inflation and the price concerns.
That makes sense. I definitely, as a consumer, feel that way about any retailer. I'll go where groceries are the cheapest. Okay, now it's time for our next segment, Retail Me This, Retail Me That, where we discuss an interesting retail topic. Today's topic is live stream shopping. live stream shopping, which takes place in large part on social media, hasn't caught on in the US and the UK the way that it has in China and other parts of Asia. So let's start off with discussing that. Why hasn't it caught on in the West?
I think that part of it is just a difference in how e-commerce has evolved and social commerce has evolved in China and in the West. So in China, social media is really already synonymous with commerce. So people will go to a social media platform with the mindset of buying something. Whereas I think in the UK and the US, people still primarily view social networks as social. So there's a bit of a change in mindset that needs to happen there. And that's just going to take a bit of time. I think also there's a big entertainment factor to live streaming in China that the UK and the US haven't quite got right yet. Things like really good quality hosts. I think hosting live stream shopping is quite a different skill from the more sort of traditional influencer content that we've seen thus far. So it's really finding the right people to be doing that. And it's things like discounts and interaction that really make live shopping a unique proposition. I think that we're still catching up in the US and the UK in making that really special.
Yeah, I think here in the US, the e-commerce shopping and habits and channels were already pretty well developed by 2020, which is when the pandemic really drew a lot of attention to how live streaming had boomed in China and it started to capture global attention. So I think in 2020, we did see consumers in the US try new modes of shopping like curbside pickup, but it was really because they had to. And live streaming shopping has been more of a nice-to-have feature. It's not a must-have feature. And I think we see this generally with mobile commerce usage in the US. It's been a very gradual shift from sort of mobile browser shopping to app-based shopping. Part of that is generational, and another part is just the incentives and ease of use of apps and payments, for example.
Yeah, that makes sense. So the same way that Instagram has had trouble getting its users to adopt shopping within the app, TikTok is having trouble getting its users to adopt live stream in the US.
I think it's also down to exposure. Like we said, people have quite ingrained shopping habits and nowhere are they more ingrained than the UK, really. And interestingly, the UK lacks most of the world, according to one study I saw, in terms of adoption rate of live streaming. And another study I saw by the Influencer Marketing Factory suggested only 25% of UK consumers have purchased something during a live stream, and that's versus 35% in the US. And there was some generational data in there, which suggested that it really is a Gen Z phenomenon in this country, whereas in the US, it's more spread across older age groups as well. So it found that 46% of US consumers aged 36 to 45 had bought something during a live stream versus just 18% in the UK. And I think that some of that might be down to the fact that we've not had some of the technological advances in social commerce rolled out in the UK yet. So things like in-app checkout on Instagram haven't been rolled out here yet. So live streaming is really something that has arrived and become popular, if we can say it's become popular, with TikTok. So that's really, TikTok is what's driving it. And I think that's why really Gen Z is so dominant here in the UK.
That's interesting. That's not necessarily what I would have expected. Live stream shopping feels like an older phenomenon to me. And then talking about like China specifically, Sky, can you give us a look at what live stream shopping looks like in China?
Sure. So I've watched that emergence for some years, and it's really right now it's kind of everywhere and has been for some time. And going back to the middle part of the last decade, 2015, 2016, this is when it really started to gain traction. And that's just really due to a kind of perfect confluence of factors. You had e-commerce and mobile internet adoption taking place at the same time. And it was really enabled by these platforms, namely Alibaba and Tencent, that created ecosystems, the super apps with payments, mobile payments. And remember, in China, credit and debit card adoption or penetration was very low at this time and still continues to be. So mobile payments really replaced that and became the engine that drove e-commerce on mobile phones. And so live streaming really emerged as a way to make e-commerce more fun, more entertaining, entertaining, while also addressing a lot of the trust gap in Chinese retail. So consumers wouldn't necessarily have a lot of trust in brands. And this goes back a long ways in Chinese retail. So they would look to influencers and other people that they could trust, acquaintances, members of their social circle. And that really helped to drive e-commerce and especially live streaming. As Karina mentioned, you had the rise of these super charismatic hosts that really made live stream shopping become a form of entertainment. And people would, you know, go home and watch live streams that would go on for hours, selling all kinds of products. And, you know, there was also a big component of deals and discounts. Like, in order to get the best deals, you had to be watching the live stream and, you know, 2-for-1 deals and kind of all these sorts of giveaways and prizes and rewards that you could get while watching a live stream. Another factor is really the logistics infrastructure in China and the quick delivery. So as live stream shopping took off, there's kind of an immediate gratification that takes place because goods could be delivered very, very quickly. I think at some point during one of the Singles Days over the last couple of years, Alibaba, I think they boasted delivery time of as little as 10 minutes from purchasing in a live stream to getting it to somebody's door.
So you talked some about like deals and discounts, this trust factor. Those are, I guess, motivations in China for shoppers getting into live stream shopping. What might motivate a US or a UK shopper?
So I saw one study, it was a Wunderman Thompson study, and it said that globally, inspiration came out top as the reason that people got involved in a live stream event. And I think that entertainment is really big in the US as well. I've seen studies suggesting that. I think in the UK, we are also most driven by discounts. And I think perhaps that's why some of these live streams haven't taken off yet. And also interactive elements like games, quizzes, giveaways, that's really motivating for UK consumers. Whereas I think in some other markets, it's that entertainment piece. So I think what brands and retailers really need to be doing before they plan these events and plan thinking about the content is kind of really understanding what their customers want and what that market is likely to engage with.
Yeah, understanding why someone would log on to a live stream in the first place, something exactly I consistently that. Scroll past.
Yeah, and I think in the UK, we are particularly skeptical of anything that's kind of pushed upon us, any kind of hard sell. So really, the content is going to be really crucial here, and the feeling that they're sort of getting something, you know, back, getting a really good discount, I think that's more likely to motivate them to buy.
So TikTok did launch live shopping in the UK. My understanding is it didn't go great. What is TikTok doing to make the US's launch and infrastructure more successful?
So TikTok has had a very successful roadmap from its Chinese counterpart Douyin in making e-commerce and live stream e-commerce happen through a social platform in just a few short years. I think the information reported that last year in 2022, the gross merchandise value of e-commerce on Douyin had exceeded $200 billion. And that was a 76% increase over the previous year, which itself was triple 2020 levels when I think it was around 50 billion. And I think in 2019, it was, you know, 20 billion. So it's like gone 10x within the span of a few years in e-commerce. And most of that has been driven by live streaming, not by short video or like shop storefronts. So it started rolling that out in Southeast Asia and the UK at the end of 2021, I believe. And the results have been a little mixed. I think Karina can talk a little about the UK experience. Southeast Asia has been pretty successful. They had over 4 billion in e-commerce sales in that region last year. And live streaming is part of TikTok Shop, which also includes features like shoppable short video and other ad formats, but it's kind of the central selling point. So here in the US, they're still in the pretty early stages of testing live stream shopping with invited brand partners. And I think those are brands that have already been using TikTok and are familiar and comfortable with the platform. Mm-hmm. So I think this indicates that it's taking a measured approach and really wants to get the experience right, both from a brand perspective as well as a user perspective for the audience here in the US.
So is that the key difference, those brand partners?
I believe they've worked with brand partners in the UK as well in launching TikTok Shop. But my understanding is that in the UK, they opened up TikTok Shop much more quickly to brands, to official accounts.
So why is TikTok pushing live stream shopping so hard? It has other e-commerce formats. Why live stream?
I think it's because they've had so much success with it in China and really brought it in as a central part of their business beyond just ads, which is what other social platforms have largely relied on. And we see with Meta's Facebook and Instagram pulling back on the social commerce features in favor of focusing on ads. There's really an opportunity for TikTok here. And I think it's part of that broader collapse or shortening of the marketing funnel that we talked about a couple of weeks ago, that it's so appealing to brands because it can be more efficient. You can get consumers to go directly from discovery to purchase in a very short period with very clear and direct attribution if you have in-app payments and checkout. And there's also for brands an engagement opportunity. They can engage with consumers directly during the live stream and solicit feedback and make it more of a two-way conversation between brand and consumer during the sales process, which I think is very appealing.
Yeah, I've been thinking a lot about that concept of social listening. I can see where this would be useful for that, for brands.
I think there's a generational aspect here as well. So we know that live streaming is, especially in the UK, it has really big appeal among Gen Z. That's the kind of the biggest appeal there. And that's TikTok's, you know, key audience as well. So I think that it really matches for them to have that kind of content and that kind of commerce content on their site. And I think they're really hoping that with a bit of time, as we've said, with a bit more habit forming, live streaming could be something that catches on here as well as in China.
Right. And that Gen Z is a generation that still hasn't established its shopping habits as much. They might be a little more open to buying things in different ways. And we see that in our regular surveys that we conduct bimonthly, where we do ask about interest and experience with live stream shopping. And the numbers are definitely higher always among the younger cohort of 18 to 34 year olds.
Cool. That's all we have time for in the first half. In the second half, we're going to be talking about some successful examples of live stream shopping in the US and UK. But first, a quick word from our sponsor, Ibotta Performance Network. Are you looking to increase your brand's awareness and guarantee units sold for every dollar spent on promotions? Meet the Ibotta Performance Network. Advertisers on the IPN see an average 7 times return on ad spend and an average 47% lift in incremental units sold. Start seeing the return on ad spend your brand deserves with Ibotta Performance Network today. Visit ipn.ibotta.com/emarketer today to learn more. That's ipn.ibotta.com/emarketer. Welcome back from the break. Now it's time for pop-up rankings, where we take a look at specific examples and we rank them. Today we'll be ranking in no particular order our top 4 brands that have done live stream shopping well. So let's start off with a brand in the UK. Karina, give us a brand.
So I'm going to talk about Snug, which is a sofa in a box company who held an Instagram Live in November 2021 with comedian Catherine Ryan. And they said that they had 160% increase in virtual consultation bookings following that event. And they then went on to hold a second live shopping event, which was a hybrid in-person and live streamed event, which featured some of the band members from Naughty's groups Blue 5 and the Blazing Squad to appeal to their millennial customer base. Snug said the event generated 100,000 impressions by users across social media. And it also held an Instagram Live Q&A that had over 700,000 views on their stories and posts. And I think this is just really interesting because they aren't talking here about a huge increase in revenue and sales on the night, but they are talking about a big audience reach and some really good engagement with their core customer base. And I think that what they've got right here is that entertainment factor, that kind of why would people join? Why would people tune in? And I think that they've really nailed that with the content that they've produced. So I thought that was why they've done that well. And they said that there's been a real, for brand awareness, it's been fantastic. So I thought that was a really interesting example.
Yeah, hiring a comedian and boy band seems like a great idea. Let's fly back to the US. Skye, what's a brand in the US that's been doing live stream well?
Sure. So my first pick is a direct-to-consumer fashion brand, Telfar, which is best known for its very highly covetable handbags that are released via drops. So not a regular schedule. You have to kind of be in the know and follow the brand in order to get access to their products. And in late 2021, they launched Telfar TV, which is actually a linear TV channel, and its main focus is user-generated content and kind of amplifying that. But they also use the channel to sell what they call drips, which are smaller versions of drops. And would-be buyers have to be watching Telfar TV at the time that a drip is announced and look out for a QR code, which they then would scan with their phones so that they can go to Telfar's site to buy the product. So it's a little bit of a hybrid between live streaming and mobile shopping and kind of what you can do with traditional TV or connected TV. But it shows just how an in-demand product can really drive this kind of live stream commerce or live shopping. And it's something that another big live streaming platform, Whatnot, is really focused on, collectibles and drops and kind of like you have to be watching the live stream at the time in order to get access. So it's a different move away from the discount focus of live stream shopping to a covetable product aspect of it.
Sure. So Snug had entertainment. Telfar has exclusivity, which I think is like one of Telfar's big things. They drop bags at specific times, sometimes in specific places. You need to be at a specific pop-up in Brooklyn to get it. So I can definitely see where Livestream fits in there. All right. Another UK one. Karina, what's another brand that's done Livestream successfully?
Okay, so now I'm going to talk about a brand called Perfume Boss, who hosted their first shoppable live 2 days after joining TikTok Shop, and then committed to hosting more than 5 lives every week. And according to TikTok, in 2 months, they saw a 438% increase in net revenue and a 369% increase in order volumes, as well as a 32% increase in followers. And I think this is really interesting because we were talking about part of the problem with live streaming being just a lack of habit and a lack of exposure. And I think this goes to show that if brands really put the effort in building that habit among their customer base, then they can have quite a lot of success with live streaming.
So do they sell perfume? They're a perfume company?
Yeah.
I wouldn't buy perfume from a live stream. How would you know what it smells like? I guess that's where trusting
the
influencers is useful. Yeah. And one final one in the US. Skye, give us our last brand.
So my next pick is actually Walmart, because here we have a big retail player taking yet another big risk with innovation. And I think it's part of their longer term strategy to court younger consumers, to look where the opportunity might be with brands as well. And so over the past couple of years, Walmart has tried a bunch of different formats for live streaming, starting at the end of 2020 when it worked with TikTok on its first live stream for the holidays. And they've worked with other platforms like Twitter and YouTube and produced dozens of events. About a year ago, they partnered with TalkShop Live, which is a live streaming platform, to do regularly scheduled shopping program on Walmart.com brand-owned channels. And one of the innovations here was adding in-stream checkout, so you would be able to buy products and check out while watching the live stream without having to interrupt that experience. I think one area where it has potential to get really interesting is the expansion of live streaming and connecting it to Walmart's retail media network, Walmart Connect. So they more recently announced a partnership with Firework, another live stream tech firm, to add branded live stream into Walmart channels and connect them to retail media and, you know, put them out over social channels as well, and then bring that back into Walmart.com.
Yeah, this is, I think, a huge topic, is the power of retail media outside of just search advertising or display advertising within search results. Things like social and CTV, when retail media networks are partnered with them or own them, can be massively powerful. As a sort of a curveball, we recently saw news that the White House is urging a TikTok sale in the US, or urging ByteDance to sell TikTok. could Walmart buy TikTok? We've talked about this on the podcast before.
It feels like deja vu because they were one of the lead suitors back in late 2020 when the Trump administration was threatening a forced sale. So I think given their positioning, their interest, they could very well emerge as a player in any negotiations or any potential spinoff that takes place.
Yeah, that would be a huge retail media network. I think I've confidently said on the podcast before that Walmart will not buy TikTok, so we'll see if I get proven wrong. Okay, that is all we have time for today. So thank you for joining me today, Skye.
Thanks, Sarah.
And thank you, Karina.
Thanks, Sarah.
Please give us a rating and review wherever you listen to podcasts and follow us on Instagram at behindthenumbers_podcast. Thank you to listeners and to Victoria, who edits the podcast. We'll be back next Wednesday with another episode of Reimagining Retail, an e-marketer podcast made possible by Ibotta Performance Network. And tomorrow, join Marcus for another episode of the Behind the Numbers Daily.